Welcome back, Chiefs fans. This is Locked On Chiefs, and we are part of the Locked On Network of podcasts that you can see here on YouTube or listen to on any platform, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Audible, Odyssey, all of them. We are everywhere, including Spotify. And I want to tell you that we are there because of our sponsors like Rock Auto, amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car is ever going to need. Check out rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. We're going to have an interesting discussion because after we recorded our last show of the week last week, we got hit with the Frank Clark news, what that means, what it's bringing, and how they are going to adapt if they have to. That's coming up next on Locked On Chiefs.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Well, we are back on Locked On Chiefs, and Frank Clark, as Ryan stated going into this show, Frank Clark has a charge against him now, and that is going to be a big question as to how that's going to play out with the NFL and the Chiefs. It's going to be one of those things where you have to wonder what's going to happen, what is Kansas City going to do, and what kind of salary cap implications could it have?
Well, it's kind of all over the place, right? Just like when I turn the camera on and it doesn't quite turn on. There's always some hiccups, and this is definitely a hiccup for the Chiefs, right? This is not something that you can really get past. Nobody can plan for this kind of incident with a player, let alone two incidents. And the reporting on Friday was a little bit back and forth, so to speak. And that's why we waited until now to give you guys the lowdown. But evidently, what this charge is from is not the most recent incident. It is one from much earlier in the year, in March, that then sets up the fact that there's still another looming charge out there. This could be something that happens again. And so I think not only can you not plan for one of these, but certainly not two. So for the Chiefs front office, for what their plan is, there's no way to really prepare for what happens if, A player isn't going to have availability due to legal incarceration. Right. Or two, if a player is going to be so handicapped by charges of varying degrees that you just literally can't continue to have a relationship with that athlete. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's a big question. And you look at what it could mean for Kansas City. If they cut Frank Clark, they would have a $20 million cap charge. That's a problem.
Unless, we'll talk about that in the third segment here later, but it is a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's something you have to figure out. You know, you have to figure out what they're able to do. And when you start looking at from the player perspective, you know, one, what is Frank Clark doing? You know, he already got in trouble once. Now he's getting in trouble a second time. We don't even know what's going to stem from that second time because there's going to be other charges. And the charges that he does have right now are up to 3 years in prison. Now, there's several people out there, including our buddy Seth Kaiser, who has said that, you know, this probably gets pled down and people don't serve 3 years. Well, guess what? He's in California, so I'm not so sure about that, but we'll see.
Well, see, and that's the interesting part is it's not, I've gotten a lot of questions over the weekend about it. Why is this different than if you possessed a weapon in Kansas or Missouri? It's because it's California and they've had their law against assault weapons for like 30 years. I think it was 1989 it was enacted. So like it's not anything that's new. It's right. Just the fact that it is pretty severe, and it's definitely different than a lot of the rest of the country. And that's what happens. Frank's from California. So it's not like he went there for a vacation. He's going home. When you go home on the offseason, that's where Frank Clark goes because that's where he's from. And so that makes it a little bit more difficult. And unfortunately, while it isn't like it is in Kansas or in Missouri, it definitely is something that, A, was a known factor. This is not a surprise given the length of how long this thing's been on the books. But B, definitely when you are a multimillionaire star athlete roaming around Los Angeles, which is not exactly known for the equality of living, it makes some interesting scenarios for which you might feel like you have to protect yourself in a way that maybe isn't the norm. And so like I don't want to cast it that Frank's doing something outlandish or anything outside of trying to protect him and the people that he's with because of his fame, to tell you the truth.
And I completely agree with you, and I'm not trying to cast aspersions at the guy and say, you know, that he's in the wrong completely. But the thing is if you're going to do what he did, you need to make sure that it's clear who's in possession of the firearm.
True.
You can't put yourself in that position to be in a situation where you're carrying a firearm because it is illegal in California and because of how illegal it is in California and how far the law goes.
Yeah.
I'm all for people being able to, you know, carry firearms legally. That's, I have no problem with that at all whatsoever, but it's not legal in California. And you need to know that, and you need to take that into account. And if you're going, if you don't feel safe there, well, one, maybe you don't go there, but two, you hire somebody that can carry legally.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's, there's no excuse not to know the environment that you're in, especially when you've grown up there and you know what the laws are. It's not a surprise. And like you had mentioned that in other states, some of these things are pled down rather regularly. I don't know that that makes a big impact for the team or the league here. We're going to talk about what the implications are for the team and the league and what might happen here coming up later. But first, I want to go to this break here in a second, but I want to get into what do they do if Frank Clark isn't available on the football field? Because at the end of the day, that's what this is about. And that's what I think has got to be our utmost priority. But first, we have to tell you about some of our friends that are helping us bring you this show.
Yes, and our friends at Built Bar are helping bring you this show. So thank you very much, Built Bar. We really do appreciate it. And Ryan has a couple of the Built Bar flavors that he can show you. Today's limited time flavor was Built Bar's Grasshopper Cookie. It is a fantastic flavor. If you haven't tried it yet, you need to order some. You need to try it. It is very delicious. Most of these bars that they have 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180 calories, and only 4 to 5 grams of sugar and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. You have many different flavors, coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate, and as I mentioned before, the grasshopper cookie flavor as well. Go order today and get the grasshopper cookie or raspberry or whatever you like. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at builtbar.com.
My favorite part of the packaging of this, by the way, is the slogan, 100% real chocolate, zero guilt. That's why the U.S. track and field team uses them.
And zero grasshoppers, just to be clear.
This is not cicada frying or anything like that. Good point.
And it is a delicious bar. I'll throw it out there. I really do enjoy that one.
I do too. Like, I'm hoarding those probably the most because I only got one box of them. So, hey, mm-hmm. Built, send me some more. And they did change their website, folks. It is built.com these days. So make sure that you hit that too. You can still get that from Built Bar. But I want to talk about the implications on the field. We're going to get into the cap and what we actually think the two organizations that are going to determine Frank Clark's future in the Kansas City Chiefs and the NFL front office. We'll talk about them coming up after this next break. But right now, we haven't seen them do anything yet. I just feel like the next shoe is ready to drop. This is from the first one that was in March. There's a whole other incident, the Uzi thing in May, that might bring another charge. And so, like, as much as I think the wait-and-see attitude is something the Kansas City Chiefs want to do, I'm not sure the league's going to let that go if there's another charge on top of it. So let's take a look. Your opinion, if Frank, for whatever reason, whenever, is unavailable, how do Steve Spagnuolo and Brandon Daly account for his absence? Like, how do they adapt to not having Frank on the field? What can they do on the field to bolster this defense?
Well, Chris Jones is going to be your first and foremost answer, and he's going to play a lot more defensive end than any of us expected him to, just based on that. So I think that that's going to be part of it. But I also think that you're going to see a lot more blitzes from the corners and the safeties. And I do think that they're going to start sending some linebackers as well. And I think that that's how they're going to have to get the pass rush. The other option, honestly, is a trade. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think that you're going to see somebody that's going to be cut unless it's an aging veteran that really doesn't have a lot left, because you don't generally see pass rushers cut that can still get after the passer pretty well. It happens from time to time. Maybe Kansas City will get lucky, But the problem is that you're going to be dealing with the ability to claim them as well. And Kansas City is going to be way down that pecking order.
Yeah.
So if you're going to get somebody, you're more than likely going to have to trade to go get somebody that can kind of come in and replace Clark, because right now the free agents out there can't. Say what you want, Justin Houston, I don't think he has the ability to get 10 sacks in this defense. I don't think he fits this defense as much anymore as he used to. You know, you start looking at, and the other question when it comes to Houston is, what's his price going to be coming back to Kansas City? Because you still have to account for that. And I know we're going to talk about the salary cap later, but that is a part of it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, I think it will signal to us how the team feels about where they are legally with Frank right now, is if we start to hear rumblings either in camp or right after week one about a signing. And I don't know, my gut instinct right now is I would think somebody like Olivier Vernon, who's still out there, might be higher on their list than either Ingram or Houston, just because he's a more traditional defensive end, a guy that can hold the edge and is used to spanning out there in a four-man front, more than like the converted linebacker type. And we know there's a history between Houston and the way that he departed Kansas City the first time. That of the three, that looks like the longest shot to me right now.
Agreed.
Okay. So who do you have as like the front runner out of those three guys, which I think are the top three? Maybe I'm wrong. Do you have somebody else that you might rank over them?
No, I think you're probably right. I think Vernon's probably number one. I think that you could make an argument that, you know, they brought in Ingram, that they liked what they saw, but Ingram wasn't healthy yet, so they could still bring him back in. Really, the question with any of those guys is, what are they going to cost? And I hate going back to cost, but that really is important, because mm-hmm. you're looking at basically having to pay Frank Clark. He's guaranteed $18.5 million. And the thing that isn't clear right now is, how does that be affected with this possible suspension? I mean, how is that going to work? That possibly can come back and be available this year, but he would but if they cut him, you still possibly lose $20 million because of the prorated bonus. So it's a big question of how everything's going to work out.
Yeah, we're going to cover the cap aspects of what could happen here in the next segment. Just on the field, I don't feel like anybody's truly in a position to replace him completely. He is great against the run. Let's not knock that down too much. I don't.
And everybody forgets about that.
Right.
That's my big problem. When you talk about Frank Clark and you're frustrated by the fact he hasn't gotten after the passer and he hasn't gotten 15 sacks or anywhere close to that since he's been a Chief, I get it. But at the same time, he is so good against the run, and they struggle so much everywhere else against the run.
I'm totally with you there. The question is, can one of those guys actually put up more pass rush than Frank has lately? Whether it's because of injury or his general health or situationally, like whatever it is, Frank hasn't lived up to the contract in terms of pass rush success.
I would argue that maybe one of them could, just because I think that you're looking at an edge situation that could be better than what Frank has dealt with across from him the past 2 years.
Okay.
And that actually does make a significant difference when you start looking at having a guy like Chris Jones. If Chris Jones could get to 12 sacks as a defensive end, that allows a lot less pressure on the other defensive end to contribute.
That's a very good point. Getting somebody in camp is going to be the challenge, and I think probably that's what we have to get to next, is like, what are the scenarios? Could they have him? Could they not? You know, do they have the parts they need to replace whatever they have to replace? And that's what it comes down for you and me as well. And one place you can find that is over at rockauto.com. You can check all the parts that you might need to replace on something that I need to replace. I have a tailgate that needs some help right now because I did something dumb over the weekend. I'm not going to share that with everyone, but
imagine that.
Yeah, you know, there's a backup camera that probably needs to be replaced at this point. But
they're useful.
They are useful. I can use them enough, evidently. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be checking that out this week. I hope you guys do as well. And you can save 30, maybe even 100%, all the way up to that, on all the parts that aren't necessarily in stock in a local brick and mortar store. So rockauto.com is the place to go look for everything that you need for your vehicle, whether it's taillights or backup cameras. That's the way that it happens. They're a family business. They've been in business for 20 years, and their prices are reliably low for not just me or you or a professional. There's no discount for being a pro. It's for everyone. And I enjoy that part of it. So you can get everything that you need. Go over there and explore their website. Check it out, and you'll find everything that I think that you're looking for. If you would, go to rockauto.com right now and check all the parts for your car and write in Locked on the little section that says, how did you hear about us? That'll let them know that we sent you over there. They have amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car or truck is ever going to need. rockauto.com. And parts is what this, I think, is going to come into for the way the Chiefs have to go about this. There's a couple of scenarios. Given this first charge, the Chiefs could choose to suspend Frank. Yep. They could choose to trade him. They could choose to cut him. I don't think anybody's going to trade for him, so I doubt that that's really an option. But all those things leave nothing unchanged on the cap. A release is a release, and they're going to be held accountable for everything according to his contract.
I'm not 100% sure on that. And the reason I say that is because you're sitting here looking at 18.5 guaranteed salary. Is it guaranteed if you're suspended? I don't think so. Because of the suspension, I think it would actually be something where he's not going to have that cap charge. But then you're going to have another basically $13.5 million coming from prorated bonus if you cut him. So the sweet spot may be actually having him suspended or suspending him from the roster, which I don't know if the Chiefs can actually do.
Right.
But if they were able to do something like that, then maybe you have the ability to bring in somebody because you're going to have some cap space that you would free up.
Well, it's my understanding that of the two scenarios, a team suspension does not give them any relief.
Right.
A league suspension does.
Right.
So if the league office and the commissioner come down and say, we're putting him on whatever the commissioner's list or just a general suspension, that would alleviate that cap space.
Yep.
In which case, any of those additions are perfectly viable. Honestly, at that point, I think a trade not only for trying to move Frank out, but acquire another pass rusher from another team, a trade becomes viable at that point.
It does. Knowing
that you're going to have to pay whoever you trade for, and maybe that allows you to pick somebody up from a team that has a plethora. There are a couple out there that might be willing to move on from a pass rusher, but
are they going to be willing to help the Chiefs?
That's the question.
That's the key. I mean, you have a couple of teams, you're right, that have a plethora of pass rushers, but generally speaking, most teams won't get rid of them, and they're definitely not going to get rid of them if they think it's going to help a team that they could see down the road, specifically in the same conference. When it comes to other conferences the other conference, I don't think is much of an issue. I mean, yeah, you have to worry about the Super Bowl, but you have to worry that you're going to get there in the first place. So to me, I think most teams look at it and say, if we can get the guy out of conference, we know we need to move on from him. It doesn't matter that it's going to help Kansas City. The only way we're going to see them is in the Super Bowl. So that, I think, is something. It would have to be an NFC team that would be trading somebody.
I completely agree. The AFC is not going to do anything to help this roster, I don't think.
Unless it's a bottom tier AFC team that just doesn't want to pay him.
Yeah, but how many of those actually have talent at the position that you think is worth trading for?
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying that's the only scenario where I think that it could happen. If somebody doesn't think they're going to make it this year and they're just trying to get rid of the cap, not have to pay the player, then I could see that scenario.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to be a team that expects to be a 5 or 6 win team and not challenge for the playoffs at all.
And if you missed it, we did threats last Friday. It's up on all the platforms. None of those teams are going to go near it. I'll tell you that right now. And yep. So it's going to be like wrangling a chess piece away from another team in order to try to help you. I don't know that that's in the cards. Even if the league does do what I think you're right, that's a very good point that maybe that is the sweet spot. Maybe the hope now for the front office and the organization is that the league steps in, suspends him, giving them some cap relief so that they can move on in a way that doesn't penalize them down the road.
But the problem with that is then you're setting a precedent, and I don't think that the league is going to want to take that step.
I agree.
So I don't think that's going to be reality. If there had been like, okay, just for a gun charge, and I'm not trying to make light of it because it is against the law, obviously, but just for a gun charge of having possession, I don't think that the league would do it. If he had shot somebody, that's a completely different scenario.
Yeah, this is not a violent crime.
Or if he had pulled a gun on somebody and please, I'm not trying to compare the two. That's not at all what I'm trying to do here. I'm just saying this is a nonviolent crime. Yes, he has the ability to be violent, but it was a nonviolent crime. So I don't think you want to set the precedent because then you have to deal with that precedent going forward as a league.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I got to tell you, just on a personal note, I'm tired of having to deal with legal precedents of any kind or legal talk on what should be a football show for this particular roster. I'm a bit tired of it. We yep. seem to not be able to get away from it. And I don't know if that is any kind of indictment of alleviating your evaluation because of talent or just choosing people that once they get what I would think, especially coming from the coast to a Midwest city where things are a little bit more relaxed, that maybe they get complacent. It seems that when guys get in trouble on this roster, it isn't necessarily to do with anything with what they're doing for the team or in town or, you know, those kind of things. So
I will say this, though, to be fair, I understand where you're coming from, and I don't like talking legal precedent either. But when you start talking about some of the guys in the past that have had legal precedent, Kareem Hunt is really the one that stands out to me the most. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bashaud Breeland had the weed issue and whatnot, and that was an issue. But from everything we've learned about the Tyreek Hill situation, it almost sounds like that shouldn't have ever been an issue to begin with. And he may not have even should have been a guy that was having to be drafted in the fifth round. Just the way everything's played out and it's come out. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's stuff we don't know, but it sure seems like he was incorrectly attacked for stuff. So yeah. I just want to put that out there. So I get where you're coming from. I completely agree with you. I don't want to talk legal stuff on here. That's not what I'm here for. I deal with that enough in my day job. Don't even think about it here.
And congrats to Tyreek Hill. I guess he's engaged to someone new now. Congratulations. And, you know, it's a tough road. It sounds like those accusations should have never come out in the first place. But the rest of the league is never going to forget that, folks. So that sure. at least us in Chiefs Kingdom, we can hold on to that. So we want to thank you for spending your day with us. Hopefully you got to see us as well over on the YouTube channel. Like and sub over there. But for all of you on every podcast platform, we're not going anywhere. Don't be worried about that. We appreciate you listening and giving us those iTunes reviews that always help and help us spread the word about the Chiefs and what they're going to do this season. Thank you for spending your day with us. We appreciate you, and we'll be back with you tomorrow. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.